Welcome to the Chronicles podcast series, a podcast dedicated to in-depth discussion on medical topics, mainly around early detection and management of chronic diseases. This podcast is intended for healthcare professionals only and is not to be taken as a medical advice for patients. We are proud to present this podcast today, brought to you by Baxter. I'm your moderator, Dr. Sabila Sajid, Manager Medical Affairs for Healthcare System and Technologies Portfolio, covering India, Southeast Asia, and I will be facilitating today's discussion from Baxter's side. In this very first episode of the series today, we are honored to have Dr. RMPL Vamanathan, a Distinguished Doctorate of Medicine Super Specialist in Pulmonary and Critical Care Medicine, who is the Director of the KMCH Center for Advanced Lung Diseases and Lung Transplantation in Coimbatore, India. This is one of the first successful lung transplantation centers which was performed here globally, and I can tell you it is one of the few busiest centers in the world. He has done more than 100 presentations and researches globally and has won numerous awards for the same. With his extensive experience and expertise, he will be guiding us through an in-depth discussion on respiratory health and the benefits of high-frequency chest wall oscillation. We hope you will find this session valuable and informative. Dr. Vamanathan, thank you so much for joining this podcast with us.
Thank you, Dr. Sajid, for your kind words. And I'm very happy to be a part of this educational endeavor by Baxter.
So now let us start the discussion, Dr. Vamanathan. I would just like to start in with, we all know that retained secretions is a big burden on intensivists, on pulmonologists as well, for pulmonary diseases or maybe what the patients are in the ICU settings. Now, what are the current standard practices that are ongoing in the respiratory health in airway clearance therapy?
So, as you have already mentioned, that clearance, airway clearance therapy is very crucial for patients in acute care and also in chronic care settings because that can affect the lung function, it can affect the gas exchange, and it can make the individual more vulnerable for infections. And therefore, ultimately, it affects the healthcare outcomes, starting from quality of life, healthcare resources utilization, hospital stay, and then outcome, including mortality and morbidity. So although it's a very small, not much talked about it, whenever you think about managing a critically ill patient or a chronic lung disease patients, we talk about specific disease management like antibiotics, bronchodilator, and everything. But the background is, this is very important. You take care of the retained secretions in the airway in acute situations or in chronic situations, your outcome will be very good, and you will be definitely doing much more good to your patients. So in this, with this as an important message, which I want to convey to this audience, and the current practice varies based on the setting. In an acute care setting, there are airway clearance methods, and also in chronic settings. In acute care settings, this is mainly this need is recognized by stakeholders like pulmonary physicians or by intensivists, that these patients need in acute care settings, that based on the quantity, the quantum of secretions the individual has. But he has significant quantity of, say, retained secretions as clinical evidence and also by any imaging evidence. And then if they are not in the position to cough up, then we recommend, we ask for help from our respiratory therapist or from many center. It may not be a respiratory therapist, it is a physiotherapist. And that is how we call that. And then they assess, and depending on the patient's stability and other comorbidities, and the most commonly used method is physical methods, which is what we do in this, which is what happening in most of the centers. We call it the standard is chest physical therapy, manually given by a therapist. And there, what they do is, by physical methods like percussion or cupping and clapping, and they dislodge the secretions from the airway. They loosen it, and then by like a bit gravity, they bring it to the central airway, and then with the help of suctioning from the either from the endotracheal tube or from the oral cavity or from the tracheostomy tube, then it's what they clear it. It may be combined with good humidification or also nebulized mucolytics or mucoactive agents. So
Yes.
just the physical therapy is what many places they do it, and it may be assisted by for some people they are not, it is not, it is contraindicated. They will do a little bit only gently vibration either with the manually or with the help of some small devices, and they mobilize secretions.
Right.
But this is a common method in acute care settings.
Yes.
They do it when we have more facilities, like when you have more other methods. And now slowly centers are adopting to new practices because there are limitations to the current methods. Like it may not be possible to do effectively, and you may have resource limitations. I hope you
Yes.
can correct me, like if I am answering my question is long. So acute care setting is just physical therapy and combined given manually. And
They
in
answered
the
that.
chronic, you want to talk, you want me to talk about chronic settings now, or you want me to talk little later?
No, of course you can talk about the chronic settings. So we have acute care settings whereby it relies on the chest physiotherapist or general physiotherapist if it's not that big center. And this is about the acute care settings. Now over, let's talk about how effective. Let's first talk about the acute care settings. Do you think it's enough effective as to what the doctor wants, the desired results for the secretions? Because it is now dependent upon human skills as well. So do you think the effectiveness is as desired, or is it less than what we desire it to be in the ideal situations?
Yeah, that is where the we need to was. So what will happen is when you have a critical care unit with who needs chest physical therapy or airway clearance therapy, the number of patients are more, and in the when a shift therapist is one, and the time spent, and then the number of frequency of so the frequency varies based on the clinical condition. If somebody may require very often, somebody may not require often. So, but all for all this, we need manpower. We need they need the time, and so that is where there is a bottleneck in just physical therapy, and you do it manually. And number two is their knowledge, also their training skills. We get therapists from various, like in one shift, you may have a good therapist. We do see this night when they come in the morning rounds. We see patient has deteriorated overnight. A patient with the airway pneumonia or with secretions, we see the oxygen requirements have gone up, and chest X-ray you do, there is a lung collapse, and especially the first few days of airway infections or pneumonia or with the bronchiectasis or COPD patients with lung infections, when they have copious secretions, it is a continuous process, and you have to do periodical intervals. When there is not enough, like night shift, we may not have two, three people to cover a 20-bedded ICU.
Yes,
So,
definitely.
the problem with this is if they are very well given, it is a good method. It is time tested. People have been using for a long time. But only problem is we are not able to exactly the way in which we want to give the frequency in which to give. It may not be always possible, and it is not around the clock. So definitely there are limitations, and there may be contraindications for a few patients where you cannot give. In a severe any trauma patients, it may not be possible, and you have the physical methods, they have physical limitations, and if they have an other air leak or severe hypoxemia, it is all not possible. So you have to be resort to gentle methods, which may not be very effective.
Are there any different points that you would want to highlight for the chronic cases? Is it the same practice that is going on and same challenges that we're facing with the chronic side as well?
Little difference in the acute care setting, we need to resort to patient independent methods.
Yes.
Yeah, in the chronic care settings, You have varieties, a range of airway clearance methods, starting from active side, different breathing techniques, and the different types of manual methods like various active side club breathing technique, also or aquagenic drainage, or many physiotherapists know that their manual methods are there. Patient needs to understand, and patient can do if there is intelligent enough, they can do, and it has to be done in the home care setting because you cannot be dependent on healthcare provider. We have to educate the patients. So, and also to make it more effective, we have small devices like PEP devices, positive expiratory pressure devices, which will also assist. And the just physical therapy, the standard just physical therapy that just somebody, the caregiver, the patient's relative has to do this. Instead of a healthcare provider, the care provider is the spouses or attendants, and they have to be taught, and they have to do the physical. They have to dislodge the secretions as they have been taught, and they have to make a gravity, a postural drainage, and then bring it out. So, the patients are dependent on their family members, and this busy world again, you will not be able to have them. Husband may not be available. He goes and he comes at 7 o'clock. He may not be able to do so. In fact, whenever we start, when I started my practice, we found that when patient of bronchiectasis with the lung disease or with the recurrent exacerbations, once they start doing a good airway clearance therapy, the frequency of exacerbation comes down. The quality of life improves. But the spouse should be doing a wonderful job of doing a postural drainage. But families, patient comes in the door, please guys, suggest me without anybody's help. I want to do myself own. Then the need is there. They don't want less dependence. So we know the importance of airway clearance. And if they cannot do it, even if you know the benefits, what is the point? So we look for devices without others' help. How can we do it? So we used to get for PEP devices. Some of them do well with PEP devices. Some of them with bronchospasm, they don't tolerate these devices. And so they may not be able to understand. So we have to resort to some other patient-independent methods. We have to also help. And especially it is going to be a regular affair, chronic diseases where ongoing airway clearance therapy is a regular part of their care. Then we have to find a method which is very practical.
So from acute care to chronic care, we kind of see challenges from not only the physician side, that it is kind of dependent upon the therapist, but also from the patient side, that he has to then depend upon the family, as you mentioned. I think that's a very valid point, because it is worth the
This as myself, I am not a respiratory therapist. I am not a physical therapist. I am a clinician treating with lot of lung disease, suppurative lung disease, airway disease, advanced lung disease. My patients do not want, especially with chronic patients, want to be independent. And you have all our therapies, our center care. We should focus on make them more independent. And whatever I get help from any corner, we are very happy to adopt.
I think adaptation is the way for doctors and every healthcare professionals nowadays, because as in more tech, we get more adapted to the technology, the more benefits we can give to the patient. Now, Dr. Ramanathan, you highlighted a very important point, that people are busy and then they have to depend upon the relatives to kind of give those sessions or however the therapy is. And we discussed a lot of modes, from active drainage to chest physical therapy, postural drainage, active cycles of breathing. So now, in terms of treatment adherence, now let us come to high frequency chest wall oscillation. How does this therapy compare with the existing practices that are currently ongoing in terms of treatment adherence? Do we have better adherence with such a technology coming into the practice?
So see, our experience with chest wall therapy is more. It used to be more of theoretical knowledge before. It was not very regularly, and we were not available, and we were not the country where we have a lot of CF population where that has been very well used. But our knowledge, literature knowledge, were off late when there are a few patients who have brought this machine from abroad. We have seen them that they are so comfortable, and they. especially requires a long-term care, and they are very comfortable with this. They do other activities. Yes, they connect to this, and they are active. They read, and they can even have nebulized therapy when this is going on. When you have research therapy, they have a nebulizer, they have a saline, which is immunoactive agents can be given. So they are very comfortable with this, and they are they are dependent on the caregivers. And that's what I highlighted there. So the key aspect of this particular modality of high frequency chest wall oscillation is it is not dependent on another caregiver. Once you can connect yourself and then on it, and you set the frequency and everything, and based on the clinical situations, it does the work, and then they have to do maneuver and clear it, right? And so it's less dependent, caregiver independent, or it is less dependent, and then they can be comfortable and they can have other therapy through the nose or mouth, which will not bother. And of course, when it's more effective because of this, you can localize in it. See, when you want to give a postural drainage or other things, it is less, it is more cumbersome. And to be very effective, you have to learn and do it exactly the right way.
Right.
And so if you're not doing very well, it won't be very effective. But when you have this method, where it is reasonably, in small studies and other things, it is more efficiency. Efficiency is good, and it is more versatile. It can clear more secretions without much discomfort to the patient, and therefore patient gets all the benefits of airway clearance therapy. I'm sure that when somebody needs to be do this airway clearance for a longer period of their life, and this is a very good opportunity they have got now. I hope I highlighted the biggest. This is more efficient and more comfortable and less dependent on caregiver, and it allows other therapies. This is what I can think on. Therefore, it can be done on a long-term basis also.
Correct. I think that's the right way to put it, as you mentioned, that since it's not reliable on the other people, the treatment adherence gets increased. And I think relating to that, Dr. Ramanathan, could you kind of, we discussed about acute care and chronic care, and then we also have place in for retained secretion in the critical care patients. But in all of these, can you envision any specific clinical indications or any specific patient population where this therapy, where high frequency chest wall oscillation can be proven to be particularly beneficial? So from our MICUs to our surgical ICUs to the respiratory OPDs, what are the specific patients or diseases whereby this can help us a lot and should ideally be used also?
So in ICU, as I mentioned, the basics of airway clearance therapy is two. You have to, one is you should identify the need for this. Like basically there should be increased secretions volume is there, number one. Number two, there is an ineffective clearance mechanism on their own. And so that means you have to externally assist. As I already mentioned, in acute care, it is a manual method. When manual method, the bottleneck is resources. When you have night duties, we don't have enough people, and we have many people are needed. These devices increase the number, and we can help very efficiently. Devices with the, even we can get the help of nurses, and we can on it, and we can do it as per the need. So in critically, many patients, when there is a need for airway clearance and you have a resource limitations, this will be a very good for manual resources therapy, and also to make it more effective, this airway high frequency oscillate chest wall oscillation is a very good choice in critically ill patients. And also very important, the one area is maybe overlap only the hospital and also home care, neuromuscular disorder patients. When there is a muscle weakness, as I mentioned, with who are not able to clear their airway, and because of the motor neuron disease or they have a muscle weakness, and that is a very, very useful urgent for in addition to train how to clear the upper airway to mobilize the secretion. This is a wonderful way of doing it. And that's one important population. Although we don't have a CF population plus CF population, so non-CF bronchiectasis who needs a periodic regular airway secretions, it is good when they don't want to depend on other members, and we can do that. CF bronchiectasis, neuromuscular disease patients with a poor cough due to muscular involvement, and in ICU, as I said, where there is a resource limitation, this is areas where very well this is useful.
So I think we critical care patients include mechanically ventilated patients, and we have covered the pulmonary diseases and as well as the patients of cystic fibrosis, although to a very less population, but still a very something that we still don't have the treatment for, and something we should be also worried about if we have such cases. What about pneumonia, Dr. Ramanathan? Do you think it has a place in pneumonia as well, whereby the secretions are a lot of it, and they are admitted in the critical care? Because a lot of critical care patients do suffer from hospital acquired pneumonia as well, and unfortunately, because of the sick condition, they cannot cough their secretions out. So, as a pulmonologist, what do you have to say upon that?
So, the pneumonia or ARDS at all, it is actually individualistic. See, the pneumonia, there are phases of pneumonia. Somebody is in acute phase, there may not be resolving phase, where is a very consolidation, where the infection is the main problem, fever, and oxygenation is a problem. There is not much secretions. Even in pneumonia, when you identify that is a resolving phase, secretions is a problem. How will you know? You will see the airway pressure is going up periodically, and then that's the routes and requirements are there, and the shadows are worsening, and there's a volume loss. So you have to identify it's a clinical, it's individualistic.
Yes.
So as such, the need for airway clearance therapy in pneumonia it's not a blanket statement. It's that particular patient depends on the stage. But in patients with bronchiectasis of various causes, and there you need to, most of them will need airway clearance therapy for a better outcome.
Yes, so for bronchiectasis, cystic fibrosis, it should be ideally be used in all the patients, and for pneumonia, ARDS, and all such critical patients, it should be as per the individual secretions and as per the individualistic approach, absolutely. Now, Dr. Ramanathan, we discussed about the emotional aspect that the patient, unfortunately, such patients of pulmonary disease have to go through, that they don't want to be dependent upon another person, another caretaker. And also we highlighted the advantages of being an independent method is more beneficial, which is not reliable manually. But what about when we compare this technology in terms of the disease management? So what impact do you foresee with this high-frequency chest wall oscillation on disease management, or particularly the patient outcomes, when we are discussing all the advantages that it offers? Does it also make any difference in the disease management per se, and the patient really translating into better patient outcomes?
So again, this comes to the basics of importance of airway clearance therapy in acute situations and in chronic situations. By clearing the airway, you are able to going to improve the lung function, and you are going to decrease the chance of recurrent infection in chronic settings or exacerbations, and also early recovery from the ICU. In a ventilated patients, when you are take care of the secretions, the duration of the length of hospital stay, everything will all come down. In acute situation, the patients require healthcare resource utilization will come down significantly if you take care of this. Otherwise, they'll keep on having a prolonged hospital stay, more chance of hospital acquired lung infections. So we need to do that in that time. And in chronic settings, definitely, it makes a lot of difference. Now more awareness have come after European Society guidelines and other things. When you want to manage bronchiectasis, very important aspects of the pillars of bronchiectasis management is airway, one of the pillar is airway clearance therapy, effective airway clearance therapy. Number two is, and the consistent airway therapy. So, and number two is antimicrobials. Then, and then third is anti-inflammatory. These are the three pillars of bronchiectasis management. Even when you want to give nebulized antibiotics, you have to clear the airway and then give the nebulized antibiotic for be more effective. So, once you are giving an effective airway clearance therapy, your suppressive antibiotic nebulized therapy will be effective. And therefore, the quality of life, the number of exacerbations, and therefore their longevity, everything will improve. And it may look very, like I'm repeating this, if you see the patient, I have seen patients who have come to me for lung transplantation. The young lady who is recently married, recently delivered a boy, and she came with a respiratory failure. Her primary diagnosis is severe dyskinesia, extensive bilateral bronchiectasis. She was on recurrent episodes of antibiotics. When she came to us, she was in type 2 hypercapnic respiratory failure. She had a hemophilus. And what we did is we just spent time with her about the importance of airway clearance. And initially, we had to start the chest physical therapy, and we gave PrEP devices. Of late, she has purchased the vest also. And she's, because the problem is she was not doing often. She stopped just physical therapy. She stopped the PrEP devices. Now, so the complaints was a problem. She improved. But then she comes with the exacerbation. When you go into history, she has stopped doing airway clearance therapy. Because she's a young girl, how long she can be doing, I can understand their feeling. But this method of airway clearance therapy helps. So coming to this, when they do very well all this, her hypercardia improved. She gained weight around 10 kilos over a period of 6 to 8 months. And she's her health care related quality of life has improved a lot. So now we are not talking about lung transplant. See, that small intervention. That is why we have tasted the benefit of this. Yeah. Then we want to convey this to audience, whomever is listening. Whenever you address a patient with the airway disease with secretions, you identify that, and there are many options available. I select the airway clearance therapy according to the patient preference and affordability, and if they are comfortable, and then address the complaints issues. If they are not able to do one method, you resort to another method, and ensure that the target is achieved. The number of exacerbation comes down, and they don't do adequate airway clearance therapy in the workplace, they have to go and spit, and they find breathless. They are coughing, ineffective cough they have. They will come, but there will be secretions. So we have to give an effective airway clearance therapy which is suitable to that particular patient, keeping in mind that it has to be our complex issues addressed by that device.
Yeah,
so they will do very well. Health-related care outcome will improve in multiple ways in acute setting and also in chronic setting, starting from the symptoms improvement, quality of improvement, now a decrease in number of exacerbation, and decrease in other rescue medication requirements, and therefore their longevity.
And I think exacerbations and the readmissions that we get as the pulmonologist face, and again, the patients get readmitted because of the lack of airway clearance, proper airway clearance, and having once again an infection all over, it increases the hospital burden as well as the burden on the healthcare facilities as well. So I think it's very important to realize what you have said and kind of make this approach as per the patient's, realize the need of it and make it as per patient choice. Now, Dr. Ramanathan, as we discuss this, now preventing retained pulmonary secretions, I think it's a teamwork and it's not just a one sector work. It's not either doctor or the chest physiotherapist or nursing. I think it requires teamwork. So who are the key stakeholders who are involved in delivering airway clearance therapy to the patients? And does this kind of technology, what we are talking about, high-frequency chest wall oscillation, if we adopt this, does this enhance their practice, or how does it affect their practice?
Okay, so anybody who, like especially the healthcare providers who take care of patients with the respiratory diseases, and also or neuromuscular diseases, and they will they are the stakeholders, and they know that they want their patients. Most of the time, even in neuromuscular diseases, the final events are when they deteriorate, they end up in problem because of respiratory complications, because they develop aspiration pneumonia, they are not able to clear their airway, they have secretions, and they feel breathless, and they end up with respiratory failure. So the stakeholders are physicians who take care of patients with who are vulnerable to have a problem of airway clearance issue. That is their number one, because they should ask for their patients. Yes, they may not be doing it. They are not may not have a technical day, but they should know the importance of airway clearance therapy. They are the specialists who take care of these kind of patients. Number two, the caregivers, the actual caregivers, like the nurse who takes care in acute care situation. Number the physiotherapist and the respiratory therapist, and in the home care settings, the clinician, and also the family members, especially the spouses, they should know that this is very important aspect. This is just, people think only if you give medicine, it is treatment. We have to understand the non-pharmacotherapeutic interventions. They are very, we have to highlight that and impress them upon the importance of non-pharmacotherapy methods. See, whenever you tell the patient, they'll be very happy. Doc, give me anything which is other than medicine. They want this, such relief. And to most of them, they are correct that these interventions, when you prescribe the right way and they are practiced in the for right duration and consistency, they will enjoy the fruit of this. So stakeholders start from acute care city, clinicians. When I say clinicians, the primary care, the physician who's taking care of the primary problem, and the intensive care doctors, and the intensive care team, the nurse, physiotherapist, respiratory therapist, in chronic care settings, it is the pulmonary physicians, and the physiotherapist and family members. And of course, when the chronic care setting, patient themselves, in fact, the patient education, they need to know this. How we have to, when you talk about this COPD or a bronchiectasis disease education to the patient, how your retained secretion can affect this. Once you have put this in their mind, they will ask for help. Dog, this method is not helping. I am doing this device, but the phlegm is very thick. So you will add a mucoactive agents. You will combine along with these devices. So you need to educate them. They are also stakeholders in this. And they will ask, dog, this method, I am not able to do this. I become breathless if I do a PEP device. But when I am doing this, I am not able to do this. I need help. I want to be do other things. It takes time, so many times. So I want to device. And there are one more added advantage of this. Somebody in the family has two or three have that this chest one oscillator is a good method that they can. We have to have different jackets for both of them. The unit is same, and it can help. And this is true, especially in the big units. This method helps compensates for resource, manpower resource limitations.
Yeah, so it kind of, it's a three-pronged approach. One is the super specialist. Second is the key caregivers like nursing and physiotherapists and chest therapists. And third is the patient. And it kind of, the adoption enhances all three sectors in its own different ways. That's what we have discussed in this podcast. Now, just one more last, let's come to the last question, Dr. Ramanathan. I would like to ask you, we have discussed a number of different benefits that we get from such adopting such technology and numerous different ways how we can do it. But despite the benefits and the advantages, we still see that we are on a stage of the prior earlier practices that we discussed initially. Now, what are the potential barriers that you see, apart keeping cost aside from the discussion? What are the barriers from a physio healthcare professional's perspective, you can say, that comes along this way to kind of a barrier to the adoption to this technology? And how can, what would your last advice be to everyone who is seeing this podcast for today, that how can we overcome these barriers as a together healthcare community?
The main barrier is, I feel at present, when things are available to us, is the awareness.
Yes.
So See, awareness about the utility of ACT, although, like, see, when you and I am meeting there, somebody's logged in for this podcast, they're all already tuned in, they're interested.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I feel we should reach to many people. If they don't come, we have to reach to them. We have to go to the units. You have this message has to go to the unit, and when you see many don't ask in exams or anywhere in other practice in intensive care or anything, people don't talk much about the airway clearance therapy even in they go for any other exams. So you have to keep this as an important aspects of care. So awareness at all level, and it has to percolate. Once the awareness is more, then I think it is the utility of this there. The benefits of this, and number two is, then once they know the usefulness, then we have to tell how it should be done rightly, and we have to make them aware that it is availability. See, many will not know. So once you say that it is best therapy, it's available. That's what that is the situation. So I think the task at present, we have to introduce or make the subject of airway clearance therapy in large to the larger picture to the healthcare providers at both in acute care setting and in the chronic care setting in the chronic rehabilitation departments like pulmonary or neuro rehabilitation units, that the airway clearance is very important. Number two is then it's also the right way. What are the various options available? How to choose? So training of healthcare people is awareness and training of them in making use. Then automatically when you offer, patients don't say no. I feel that they know if one admission they do it, the admission comes to 5 to 6 lakhs in respiratory failure. They get the non-invasive ventilation in ICU with the meropenem and all these antibiotics. When they come out, they come to 10 lakhs. And if you say that you use this prevent admission, they don't mind spending for this.
Absolutely. I think so. What we need to conclude is that although an ignored area for medicine, airway clearance, but a very important matter to discuss and realize its importance, what kind of patient outcomes it can affect, and also to kind of continuously educate as healthcare professionals ourselves to keep on continuing this education system and learning and adapting with the technologies. That brings us to the end of today's episode. We'd like to
stop, which I forgot to tell you. See, for this, for example, now the high frequency chest wall oscillation is available. Now, you have to demonstrate to people to make them believe.
Absolutely.
See, that is where you will adopt it. See, when we talk a lot and all, it is beyond one level. You have to do it in a live patients. And that is where, for example, we had used this system in our ICU. I had asked for a requested for a demo system. The physiotherapists are so happy and the intensives are so happy. Now we are going to buy this, but there is a period where we don't have that many. People are asking, where is the device at all?
Yeah, so absolutely, Dr. Ramanathan. Yeah.
So it is an acute case. So we have to make it available to needed areas. You identify stakeholders, no? Similar locations. So where this availability should be told and they should have access for it, and they should be able to see the benefit themselves. And it is doable. See, at least the efficiency, you can see immediately how easily the volume of secretions comes out, how comfortable with their device. The long-term outcomes, you may not know immediately, like number of admissions and the exaggerated patients. But at least in the acute care settings, easy to see the efficacy and utility. So I believe that if you ask me how do you go about it, talk about to the healthcare people, ACT as an important non-pharmacotherapy, airway clearance techniques. Important non-pharmacotherapy options for such patients. It has a lot of impact. And what are the options available? What is the benefit of each method? And what are the new things? How they are going to take care of the deficiencies or limitations of the existing methods. Like main thing is compliance and comfort and efficiency of the new method.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Ravanathan, for sharing with us how we as a healthcare community should be working ahead in the right direction, keeping focus on airway clearance therapy, adapting the right technologies, doing more trainings and more continuous education. And I hope that this podcast is one of the few initiatives and will help all the healthcare professionals out there. We would like to thank you, Dr. RNPL, for sharing his insights on respiratory health and the role of high-frequency chest wall oscillation in patient care. We hope this discussion provided valuable information to help you enhance your practice. Please remember, this podcast is intended for healthcare professionals and is not a substitute for any medical advice for patients. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Dr. Sabila, and we look forward to having you with us again in our next episode. Thank you so much, Dr. Ramnathan, for joining the podcast today.
Thank you all.